The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, 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 hey! How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
You know, when I think about bands that perfectly represent what Bonnaroo is, the culture, the artistry, the history, the roots of it, Moon Taxi could be at the top of the list.
For me, that's why I wanted them to be a part of this. Their story is pretty compelling for the whole history of it. We'll get into that with Trevor, who was kind enough to call. But, I mean, these are high school guys when it started in 2002 that were just up the road in Nashville. So a natural sort of they went.
Yeah.
They liked it, dreamt of one day playing there. Took them a lot longer to do that than you might have thought, a decade.
Right.
And now they did it on a small stage, and then they were back at the second largest on the Witch stage 3 years later, and now 3 years later.
Ooh, don't yep. break the news, because Trevor breaks news today.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it.
That even InfoRoo doesn't have.
I'm just going to say they're back.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. Plus, they have a local connection. We know them because they used to play small clubs here, and Trevor spent a couple hours in Camp Nut Butter with us.
I can't wait to dive into all of it with Trevor from Moon Taxi today. This is the What Podcast. That's Barry Corder from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I'm Brad Steiner from Hits 96 WDOD Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I know that this is not necessarily a Chattanooga-based podcast. It's not even necessarily a Nashville-based podcast. I mean, Barry, you noticed that it's now being heard in 20 different countries.
We're huge in Korea.
Yeah, well...
I just think that's so awesome. I think it's 8 downloads now in Korea.
When you see us, too, you immediately think Korea.
Japan,
sure.
Sweden, Brazil.
So
we're international.
So, yes, we know that this is not a Tennessee-based podcast, even though it is about Bonnaroo. But our conversation with Trevor today, very focused on Chattanooga. And we are from Chattanooga. Barry's been here his entire life. I've been here 20-some-odd years. The weirdness about this is that Moon Taxi is from Nashville. But man, you could have called Chattanooga home. They have been here so often. They have been in our streets, in up and down our streets for years, and I have not once seen them.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know. And I was thinking about that driving over. I think it's important. They are sort of part of this part of the world, I guess, being Nashville, Chattanooga. But I think they represent Bonnaroo, joking about being huge in Korea. I think anybody will like them. I think their story is representative of bands in general.
Yeah.
Festival bands.
Right.
Specifically Bonnaroo bands specifically. So while we do dive into some of the Chattanooga-centric stuff, I don't think it matters.
I mean,
I think anyone will understand it.
Sure.
We had Bozzy last week from California by Michigan, or Michigan by California.
Which is an interesting way to sort of frame it. Bozzy, never been to Bonnaroo, doesn't really know anything about Bonnaroo.
Right.
We like Bozzy.
Yeah.
He's a good kid. But there's something special about Moon Taxi and the way that you want to root for them, because they feel like one of us. They feel like just another Bonnaroovian.
No question. And we get into, and we've mentioned it before, there's just some songs that feel like a Bonnaroo song.
That's
or a
right.
festival song. They take you there mentally. It was interesting to hear him say that without us sort of bringing
right.
it up. That was cool.
He speaks the language. He
yeah.
knows every step of the farm. It was quite refreshing talking to him. A little bit later on the podcast, we're going to tell you how you can win Bonnaroo tickets. We've got announcements to make. We're going to read some of your comments that you've given to us at thewhatpodcast.com and from Twitter, thewhat_podcast. Let's get into it with Trevor from Moon Taxi. What do you say?
Let's do it.
I was just reminded by Barry that our camp that we have set up at Bonnaroo each and every year, it's called Camp Nut Butter. And there's been there's 12 of us that camp, and we've camped together for almost 10 years now. And we get a lot of special guests pop through the campsite on occasion. One special guest, 5 years ago, happened to be Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor sat down at our camp and hung out with us for an hour or so.
Was I stumbling through the camp, or was this on purpose?
I don't really know why.
I think part of it, I wanted to ask, I think you know Mike Dewar from here, right? From Rhythm and Brews?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I miss Mike. I haven't thought about that gentleman for a long time. It's good to remember him.
That means the invite is open to you again to crash Camp Nut Butter in 2018.
Let's do it.
I got to imagine coming back to Bonnaroo is pretty sweet for you guys, huh?
We're ready, man. We are 100% ready to and excited to play some new material there, and excited to get back to the I think we're playing the Witch, right?
Yeah,
playing
the Witch stage. That would be my guess.
I think we're playing the Witch again, but we might play it under the cover of Night, so that's going to be a little more interesting and exciting for us, because you know, we pride ourselves on our light show, and we're just going to pull out all the stops.
That's got to be a much different show than when you popped in on a Thursday night at Bonnaroo however many years ago, huh?
That was 2012, I want to say. 2012. Was our first year, right?
Man.
Yeah. This is a podcast that we started to sort of, because we've been going 26 years combined. We like the festival. It's just up the road for us. We're here in Chattanooga. So I want to take you back. You guys are from Nashville, which
That's
is
right.
even closer. It's more like 25 minutes. We're about 55.
In my mind, it's like equidistant from Chattanooga to... I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe my GPS is
I actually agree with Trevor on this
probably
one.
Right. Geography was never my thing.
I really do feel like it's more of a Chattanooga festival than it is a Nashville festival.
Yeah.
We can get there. Ooh, those are strong words.
I promise we can get there quicker from you than somebody can the other side of Nashville. All right. So let's go back. 2002, this crazy... No, 2002, this crazy, never-heard-of festival starts down the road or up the sideways for us. You guys didn't start your band until 2006, but you obviously knew of it. So what I want to do is sort of talk about that progression of going from starting a band to having a band to when do we get to play this festival to then finally getting to play it in 2012. And then, you know,
man, that's a long story, but I'll try to go back to the very beginning. And the beginning for me would be in high school when I started a band with Tommy, the bass player of Moon Taxi. And we had aspirations to move to Nashville, and we were moving to Nashville in the fall of 2002. So during the summer of 2002, we heard about a festival, first time festival called Bonnaroo. And we were like, what is this? Where is it? Bonna what? Bonna who? All we knew is that we were 18 years old and we wanted to go check out this festival. So we went. It was the first year, and it was beautiful chaos and the most fun I think I've ever had in my life. And I got to experience it with my best friend and my bandmate. We went to the first one, and our eyes were opened, the doors of perception were knocked down. We were just, I was convinced that I wanted to go to every single Bonnaroo. And at that time, I wanted to go just as a participant, as a fan. I just wanted to be kind of wrapped up in that incredible chaos that is a music festival. We went and we got to see, I think our first show in the afternoon was, this was in 02. We saw the band Llama. Do you remember them?
Wow.
Yeah.
We saw Llama.
What an opening hand you got dealt.
It was great. It was fantastic. And we were like, man, these guys can't be that much older than us. And look, they're playing this great festival. And we really looked up to them and got to meet a few of the guys in the band, you know, years later. So that was our first show that we caught in the O2 festival. It was hot. It was dusty. It was messy, but it was awesome. And that was my first kind of taste of Bonnaroo. You know, fast forward, you know, a whole college education later, and 5 years later of playing bars around the Southeast, touring hard and writing records together. We were offered, actually fast forward 10 years because our first time there was 2012, we were offered a slot on a Thursday night at this tent, I believe. No, sorry, it was that tent.
Yeah, it was that tent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was that tent on it. I think it was like a 7:30 p.m. slot, so just as the sun was coming down. You know, we started playing, it was still light out, but by the end, it was just completely rowdy and
yeah.
A mess. And it was a huge, huge stepping stone in our career. I feel like that really put us on the national radar as far as bands to go check out that thrive in a festival setting.
After the first year, did you make it a point to go back to Bonnaroo again before you eventually played it? Did you guys go every year to become like your
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. Sorry for skipping that decade in there. we went, I kind of fast forwarded really quickly. We went, I went the next 3 years, so I went 02 through 05, I think. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I you know, took on some summer jobs and I was like studying abroad. So just really focused on my kind of academic career at that point.
Didn't even have a band. Studying. Didn't even have a, well, it wasn't Moon Taxi then anyway, was it?
It kind of was. I mean, we say 07 was when the band really formed because that's when our final member came on. But the band formed and was more or less Moon Taxi over like the course of 3 or 4 years from okay. like 05 to 08 while we were kind of formulating our final crew and just writing music for our first record. But yeah, so I went to the first three Bonnaroos, yeah. I guess, which would have been 02 through 05. And I think that's the same for Tom, the bass player, and Spencer went to the, I don't know if he was at the first one. He's our guitar player and producer. He went to like one of the first ones. I want to say it was maybe 04 and 05. The rest of the band members, they're a little younger. They're like 3 or 4 years younger. So they were still in high school at the time and didn't get to experience those first few crazy years there. But they've been, you know, subsequently.
What's so refreshing, especially in 2012 when you sat down at the campsite, the reason why you sat down at the campsite is because you were there for a few days. It's refreshing that
right.
on the first time you guys got to play Bonnaroo, you stuck it out and you were there to watch the rest of the festival. Not everybody does that. And we talked about that maybe a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, that if there's something that we were ever to tell a young artist that was able to play Bonnaroo, we'd say, stay and absorb the entire experience.
I would say so. I mean, especially if you haven't experienced the festival from a fan's perspective, I feel like Tommy and I have a unique perspective on Bonnaroo because we went as fans for so many years and, you know, we went to the first one, so we saw what it was when it started and like the kind of ethos that it was born out.
Brad and I have talked about this in previous podcasts and so we have the other fans in mind. What would be your camping tip? Do you have a camping tip that you picked up? Those 3 years or in 2012?
Just the kind of basic survival skills. You got to find a good bathroom, find an opportunity to like unplug too. I mean, it's a lot of sensory overload. So if you need a chance to like just go take a walk by yourself and find like an unoccupied corner of the festival, I think that's really important. You know, especially if you're like an introvert, kind of like I am. Like I'm an introverted extrovert. Like in my sort of profession, I'm very extroverted, but I need those like moments of personal space and reflection. Time for reflection. I think that's important.
I mean, you go from 2012 and Bonnaroo, and I gotta imagine that show was a major look for you guys. And we said it to Ashley Capps. I really think that without Bonnaroo, I don't know if a band like you guys gets as big as you do, as quickly as you do.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible opportunity and definitely a milestone. We always tell people there were like, you know, several milestones in your career. For us, it was Bonnaroo was our first one, you know, then like a late night TV show appearance was right. The second one. But Bonnaroo is always, always mentioned in the top three things that have helped kind of propel the band to the next level.
And that's pretty impressive considering you guys have played every festival.
Right,
I mean, you guys
exactly.
not only play every festival, I think that you might have played every city in America. I mean, you guys could be, you're like the hardest working band on the planet. How many live shows are you doing a year?
I mean, not more than 110 to 150, I would say.
You guys work,
you know, We found a good kind of happy medium of time at home, because now, you know, lots of us are married and have children, and you know, it's hard to balance those things and still get out there and play as often as you need to. We just took our first European tour. We played throughout Germany and Sweden and Norway, and it was amazing. Wow. And I can't wait to get back over there. That's a whole new world for us.
Is there a place that you haven't played yet that is still like your white knight? Is this somewhere you really want to get to that you haven't gotten to yet?
Ooh, I mean, like that taste of playing abroad in Europe was really awesome. And I'd like to go play in Spain, in some festivals in Spain.
Barcelona's got a good one, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, Primavera in Barcelona. I would love to go there. I went to Barcelona on my honeymoon, and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful city ever.
You guys, because you're a Nashville-based band, you're 2.5 hours or so from Chattanooga. You played clubs here in Chattanooga. The people that saw you back then and then maybe saw you at Bonnaroo, a little bit different evolution with the band. I've heard people say you become more of a festival-type band or even an arena, larger crowd. Was that something conscious? Are you guys even aware of it? Is that a fair comment, I guess?
I think it's a fair comment. And people that have, you know, saw us play at JJ Bohemia, and then people that see us play at the Witch Stage, for some reason they want to say it's a different band, but really it's not. It's the same exact lineup. We're not necessarily playing the same songs, but I think at the core of it, our songwriting process changed. We wanted to write more anthem kind of style songs that appeal to the broadest range of people, and we wanted to have songs that, you know, thousands of people could sing along to. And I think that's the one thing maybe that's changed fundamentally, but it's, you know, it's just two guitars, bass drums, and keys, like, at the core. Like,
yeah.
It's still the same guys.
For people who don't know, JJ's is about 150, if everybody stands, shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Am I being kind?
Yeah, that would be fire code violation.
I don't know if I can get my family's Thanksgiving dinner in JJ's.
It's a nice place, but just to let people know.
It's great.
Tell me.
We played a show there with, so who's the guy? He's like the kind of chief of Chattanooga. He's got a red fro. I think his name's TJ.
TJ Griever.
TJ Griever, yeah.
Had the best hair in rock.
Yeah.
Best hair in rock and roll. He's amazing and great energy. What was the name of his band? I'm trying to think.
Up with the Joneses.
Up with the Joneses, yes.
We
played some shows with them, traded back in the day.
Bro, I just love your band, bro. You guys are doing great work, bro.
TJ's still around. He's doing great.
He's doing great. Runs the best pizza joint in the city, that's for sure.
Yeah, still singing and doing great. Got a family. Tell us about, and this is one of those easy softball kind of questions, but it's what we're here for. What was it like, that stage performance, and then getting to do the Witch Stage in 2015?
The Witch Stage was a lot hotter.
It was 3 o'clock, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, 3 o'clock with the sun at just that perfect angle where it's like no matter what you do, it's going to hit you right in the eye socket and just really mess up your sense of balance. It was hot, I would say. You know, you feel more of a connection with people in the smaller tent as opposed to like a big open field.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to ever go back to that tent feel once you jump on the big stage and once you feel the energy of that sound system pushing sound outwards. It's an incredible feeling. And
yeah,
that was one of the shows that we had the kind of infinity crowd where you can't really see the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an infinity pool. You're like, oh my God, does it ever end?
Yeah.
To me, it never did.
That's an amazing story to hear an artist talk about the festival that they've been dying to play, maybe their entire professional life, and then see the crowd show up and have that type of reaction. That's what the whole stupid experiment is about. That's what the whole festival's about.
That's how I imagine it if I were a musician.
Right.
That's
exactly how I would be putting it together. That's right. That's the puzzle I'd want.
And it's you can see video of some of that on YouTube, and you can see the smile on Trevor's face that just looks...
I love when an artist really, really enjoys the experience.
Yeah.
There are some artists that I've seen at Bonnaroo, I don't really like it all that much. You know, I remember Wanda Jackson showing up and it's 200 degrees and she looks around and she goes, whoo,
yeah,
it's hot. She was not happy that day.
I remember getting there early for the St. Paul and the Broken Bone show, and they came out to do an early sound check, probably 10 minutes, and it felt like they were getting ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
He just sort of walked out at one point and just stood and stared and smiled.
That's right.
You can feel it.
It's an amazing feeling, I've got to imagine. That's Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. You're listening to The What Podcast, thewhatpodcast.com. We'd love to give you some Bonnaroo tickets with camping passes. The Bonnaroo people have been nice enough to wrap their arms around this podcast and give us some Bonnaroo tickets, and we're going to give those away in probably a month. We're probably 4 weeks away, so get your comments in today. It will be your entry for Bonnaroo tickets. And I was thinking about this when Trevor was talking about the very first show that he saw at Bonnaroo, when he walked in 2002, and the first show he saw was Llama.
Llama. Right.
I want to hear the very first show that you saw at Bonnaroo. The very first one that you saw. Drop it in the comments section at thewhatpodcast.com. Just click comments, fill out the form, and give us your very first ever Bonnaroo show. I don't necessarily remember mine from 2004. I have a feeling I know what it was, and I don't really want to say because it's kind of ridiculous, but I remember the wife's first one because I had already gone to Bonnaroo without her. I guess it was the next year or the year after that she finally decided to come along with me.
Right.
We walked in from the backstage area, and we turned around, looked at the witch stage, and it was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah.
And I remember her seriously just looking at the stage, looking at me, and she said, "Where are we?" She was absolutely out of her mind, confused as to what we just walked into.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. My wife's first and really only happened to be Springsteen. That's her, yeah.
That's a pretty good, that's an opening salvo.
That's a pretty good one, right. One and done. It's a huge place. People can't, I don't think, can wrap their head around it. That's every year that, you know, you and I go, I have to walk through the gate there, and I'm always overwhelmed at how big the place is. It's right on a 700 acre farm. It takes you a minute to reorient, you know, which is, where is everything? Where am I?
It's amazing that you've probably spent a month of your life on that farm and you still have to calibrate.
Yeah.
You still have to remind yourself, wait, where am I again?
Where am I? And they changed things. That's part of it. But yeah, I don't remember my first show either.
No,
I remember first moments, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, My Morning Jacket. Obviously I mentioned that many times, In the Rain. Walking out into the What stage area, that field, when you see it empty, it's one thing. It's still huge. And then
you see it empty on a Saturday morning?
Yes.
Or are you seeing it empty on a Friday morning? Because it's a very different experience.
It is a very different. And that's another thing that I get up early. So getting up at 7 when some shows are ending.
Yeah.
And I'm getting up to go get coffee and they're crawling off to bed and you see that field full of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I don't think that with a general admission pass that you can walk into the gates and see the What stage field. So if we can give you a little bit of behind the scenes eyes and ears, it is a garbage heap. And what is the company that actually does the ground keeping, the people that pick up the trash?
Well, there's the trash or the...
It's the recycling group, and I can never remember the name of them.
Green
Well, they do an absolute amazing job. And if you see them around, pat them on the back because those guys work their asses off. You cannot imagine the amount of trash come 7 o'clock in the morning that is covering the What field. It is unbelievable if they get that in shape by the time the gates
open. And then it's gone by mid-morning, really. They go through. We'll get into some of that later. I'm glad you brought that up. There are a lot of programs involved with this festival.
There's almost too many to name.
Yeah. I had a meeting just this week with the guy that is picking up the extra food from some of the catering and trucks. And they take it to the Grundy County food bank. Basically, they feed the homeless with it. That's only about a 5 or 6 year old program.
Right.
Gear Up, I think, a lot of people who buy brand new tents and sleeping bags and pack their trucks, and then on Sunday or Monday when it's time to drive back to Michigan or California, they just leave it.
Yeah, you can have that, and I'm done with it.
I'm not packing it up. Right. My head hurts.
Half of my gear has happened because of our campmates.
That's right. But they figured out how to recycle that. They resell it, and they use that money. So
I think it'd be fun as we get closer to the festival to jump in and do a couple of podcasts, maybe 15-minute quick hits during the week, maybe fill in on some of those programs as we get
absolutely.
Closer. You want to do that?
That's part of why I wanted to talk to David. He and his wife, his mom and stepfather started this program.
That's awesome.
Some years ago. It's cool.
So not only got Bonnaroo tickets to give you if you want to enter your comment, your very first ever Bonnaroo show that you saw, do it at the comment section. Just click comments or contact and put in your info and you'll be in for Bonnaroo tickets. I remember I brought my brother 1 year to Bonnaroo. The very first show that he walked into, we wheeled him behind the what stage and we dropped him right in the pit of Kanye West. What? I mean, talk about a spoiled, rotten kid.
Mind blown.
Yeah, that spoiled kid, that jerk is.
Yeah.
All right, I was going through some of the comments here in a second, but I wanted to give away our future prize pack from last week. I've got vinyl. I've got a future hat, some future goodies. I'm going to give that to Sarah Spencer, at Sarah Spencer on Twitter. She is our future prize pack winner. There are some really great comments. If you want to drop us a line, you can at thewhatpodcast.com. This from Drew. I cannot express how much I love this podcast. I'll be coming from Pittsburgh for my sixth year. I have friends who have, within the last 2 years, have moved down to Nashville, sort of out of the love for Tennessee, which was found at this amazing festival. Our group covers over almost 10 states between everyone who makes the trip every year, and we keep finding more people down with the cause and who tag along to make their new yearly plan. Your podcast takes me back, especially the Dust Bowl. Oh, my God. It's a vacation for your soul, as my friend puts it. I'll stop coming to Bonnaroo when I'm dead. There you go.
That's commitment.
Pretty good. That is. You know what? We might even be there when we're dead, I'll be honest.
The thing that has sort of, several things have impressed me with it. The logistics of it are mind-boggling, yeah. how they make it work. That idea of it becoming a rite of passage is something I don't think I really thought of at first. We talked with Ashley Capps a couple weeks ago about that very thing. But can you imagine graduating from high school and this being your sort of summer? You know, your reward for summer.
I mean, I can barely handle it at 36. I don't know how I do it at 19.
What a great thing, though. What a cool. We didn't have anything like that. I guess we had Champagne Jam down in Atlanta was about as close.
Well, that's exactly how Trevor got into Bonnaroo. We're talking to Trevor from Moon Taxi today on the What Podcast. Back into our conversation, Trevor. I mean, you guys not only you tour, it feels like forever, but you put out a lot of product. I was pretty shocked that you guys have already put down, five albums now with the fifth? Is the fifth one coming out? It's unbelievable how quickly all this happened.
It's out. Yeah, the fifth one came out in early January of this year.
When you got to figure out what the album's going to sound like and what the perspective is going to be, do you oftentimes think about the festivals? Do you think about the live shows, bringing them into the recording process?
I would say that. I would say, I mean, even before then, into the writing process, I think that's always in the back of our minds. Like, is this going to crush in a giant crowd like at Bonnaroo, for example? Right. I mean, that's definitely been mentioned. Like, when you pitch an idea to the rest of the guys, you know, you're always aware of how they're going to react. And as a tool for selling your idea, you're like, man, can't you just see that, like, crushing at Bonnaroo? Like, that has been used in several of our writing sessions before.
Is there a song in particular that you guys have written that you've said to yourself, you know what, this may not be the perfect song for a record, but it's going to be great live?
We put those ones on the record. We don't really pursue those ones that aren't going to make it in a live setting, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the live show and the studio album, they're so intimately tied. We know that we're going to go play a million shows on this record, so let's just make both of those components satisfied.
Sure. It's great to hear you say that, because we've mentioned it several times in previous podcasts. You can just hear the first notes of a song and picture yourself, in your case, on the stage, but in our case, standing out in that crowd, in the field, or in one of those tents. There's just a different sound.
Absolutely.
To those types of songs, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, that's if that's a tool that you need to use to finish a song or to even, like, come up with that creative spark, I think that's wonderful, and you should, like, pursue it.
Are you staying all weekend? Are you going to try and see a lot of shows? If so, who you got on your list?
Absolutely. I'm staying all weekend, and my parents are coming.
Oh,
so
no.
It's my parents' first Bonnaroo. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they're going to see what I've been doing this whole time.
Oh, good.
So I don't.
Who's
I don't
mom and dad excited about? Who do they have on their list?
Probably Eminem. They're going to get down with Eminem.
Hip parents.
I don't really know. I'm going to have to ask them. Like, they know about some bands that I'm not even aware of, so it's going to be great. No, it's going to be fun, and I need to make it over to camp.
Camp's Nut Butter. Can you camp tell me? Nut Butter.
Yes. Nut Butter. Oh, yes. Man, I was about to say.
Just ask, really, man. Dirty, you'll follow the lights.
Everybody sees the giant cartoon heads in our campsite. You'll find us pretty
easy to find.
I'll come see you guys, I promise. Right.
We'd love to reconnect at Bonnaroo, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor.
Honestly, congratulations on the massive success. It's really a thrill to talk to somebody when they begin their career and then watch it unfold literally in front of our eyes on the farm. It's a testament to not only what we love at Bonnaroo, but you guys as well. So congratulations.
It feels great to be a part of it. Thank you for the support, and thanks for sticking with us this whole time. Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, man.
Trevor from Moon Taxi on the What Podcast, a Bonnaroo podcast for Bonnaroovians by Bonnaroovians. We appreciate you listening again this week. Again, Bonnaroo tickets and your comments at thewhatpodcast.com, or you can interact with us anytime at @what_podcast.
I think it's cool, all the comments. I want to thank everybody. And just to let some folks know, I think one of the things we want to do is maybe call some people.
Yeah, sure. And have them on the podcast.
And have
I love
them
that
on.
Idea.
And so if you guys are out there and you suddenly see a phone call from 423, I'm not selling vacuum cleaners, so I hope you'll answer.
Are you going to be FaceTiming, I wonder?
I don't know. I hadn't figured that out yet.
Okay.
That's possible.
You don't know how to FaceTime, Barry?
I do know how.
Okay, just making sure.
No, it's the recording, the audio that I'm working on.
Well, maybe we'll just do it from here.
That'd
we'll
be fun.
Live on the podcast.
There
we could do that. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, maybe that's an idea. We'll reach out to them ahead of time and say, hey, be ready or whatever.
Be ready. A call from the
phone
What Podcast.
We're going to phone a friend.
Could happen. Hey, next week, go ahead and plug next week. I think that next week may be personally the most excited that I could be.
Yeah. It's another one of those, a similar story to Trevor. We want to call Paul Janaway from St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Paul has such a great Bonnaroo connection story. He actually worked, I don't remember if it was the first year, but it was early. Mm-hmm. He was one of the volunteers and fell in love with it and basically had the dream of one day becoming a performer. Yeah. And he has such a great story about his singing in church and the pastor who basically kept telling him, you're a backup singer, not a lead singer.
Yeah, we hope we're not speaking too soon, but we're going to talk to Paul this week, and I couldn't be more excited because I love St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I spent a year following them around the country. I probably saw them 15 times in a year. I love these guys, and from what I have heard, and I hope that I'm not saying something that I shouldn't, they should have a new album this year.
Yes.
So what you're going to hear, hopefully, from Paul this upcoming podcast next week is something about the new material and if he'll be performing it at Bonnaroo. And by the way, the tent jump. I'm wondering if he's going to, a lot like Moon Taxi, jump from tent to main stage this year.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
We'll see.
We'll see. The lineup is not out. They're releasing, for you guys that already have your tickets or are interested, they have been releasing, it seems like about once or twice a week, some of the tent lineups instead of doing it all at once. I know they released the other stage lineup, the electronic, the EMD, and they released some of the schedule out in the camping area. They've got some some special guests out there. Mm-hmm. So you can go and check that out. It's all on the Bonnaroo.com website.
And we appreciate you listening to the What Podcast, the What _ Podcast on Twitter, thewhatpodcast.com. For all of your Bonnaroo ticket needs, we will talk to you next week on the What Podcast. For Barry, I'm Brad.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay!
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.